I certainly think also Michael Olise has had a wonderful start. The Bundesliga is really falling in love with him and just seeing how talented he is. And I think people who watch the Premier League knew that. It's a new thing for Bayern Munich fans.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
All right. Well, we did not expect this. Graham Rowntree and Munster have unanimously decided to depart ways. Alan Quinlan is with us. Alan, good morning to you. Welcome back. We just finished the show.
Good morning for the second time, Joe.
Yeah. This is kind of shocking, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. That's the first thought that came into my head, that I was shocked. It's a big call, isn't it? It's a statement call. And I feel sorry for Graham, because, you know, I've said all along, and I think I've been consistent in saying this, you know, the depth chart is sometimes an issue. The quality of players coming through, and as a coach, you can only work with what you have. But in saying that, your head coach, that's the responsibility when you take a big job. You know, that's the pressure that you come under, and ultimately, that's where the first squeeze comes, really. So it is a big shock. And, you know, I think there's a lot of comparisons, and I was only saying it to you this morning, Ger, about the start Munster had 2 years ago when they went on and won the URC. They won two in the first seven games. Then they went to Cork and beat South Africa, and things turned around. Similar kind of situation happening here with two from six. You know, if they were to win the next game against the Lions, it's three from seven, so it's even better than what it was. So, but look, I think there's high expectation, and there's pressure, and you know, whether people outside of Munster not agree with it, with me and this, Munster's still a big club. It's why we talk about them all the time, isn't it? You know, from a marketing point of view, they're a big club around the world, but European success hasn't been there for a long time, so it's a big decision, and it's a big call from Munster.
Yeah. So the statement just came through in the last hour or so, saying that it was by mutual consent, is the phrase that we all really understand exactly what that means. But so Ian Costello is taking over as interim head coach. He's the current head of rugby operations. He's been doing an excellent job, you'd have to say, in terms of getting all of the background aligned. So I don't know if he is potentially somebody who might move into a coaching role. You probably know a bit more about that than I would.
The background aligned, I think his job is obviously, you know, he's come back into an organisation that... there's very high standards. I think Ian did he coached Munster against Wasps a couple of years ago in that game over around COVID. And obviously big responsibility on him. And it's a tough situation for any of the staff there now, because, you know, they would have been worked together for the last number of years. And I still have issues about where the players are coming from. You know, the quality of players are coming through. So I think there should be pressure. You know, there's pressure on Ian as well to come out and explain to Munster fans where things are at, and address certain issues and concerns about quality players coming through and depth in Munster's defence. And again, this isn't a checkbook scenario that you just go out and spend a load of money. Obviously, you're restricted in what you can do with the number of foreigners you have, overseas players. Munster went out and made big statements, didn't they, in 2019 with RG Snyman and Damien Dialende. So they went down that road of trying to, you know, get money, people outside influence, outside people supported that as regards paying their wages. They were two World Cup winners in the height of their game, in their prime, essentially. RG Snyman, obviously, the injury profile affected him badly, but... I think the questions need to be asked about where the players are coming through, the level they're at, the fitness department, all this stuff. And again, it's not me saying you need a root and branch assessment. And I'm sure they will assess to all areas now. And And for Ian Costello, yes, of course, he's embedded in the system now, and but for me, you need head coach material coming in there. You need someone with that's going to excite people. Mike Prendergast is an obvious candidate from within, if that's something he wants. But ultimately, Munster is a big club, and they need to get people. Jesus, can you hear the dog?
We can. Barking? We can hear the dog. Don't worry. She's upset. Right. That
she's shocked as well.
Yeah, she would. I'll just read the statement out for a minute if you want to pull down, and hopefully that'll stop. So Munster Rugby CEO Ian Flanagan said, "We'd like to thank Graham for his passion and dedication to Munster Rugby over the last 5 years, and I would like to wish him and his family the very best for the future on behalf of Munster Rugby." So Ian Costello will take over as interim head coach. The recruitment process for a permanent head coach will get underway immediately. Flanagan continued, "With the All Blacks 15 coming to a sold-out Thomond Park this weekend, and a number of big games on the horizon in November and December, our focus will be on continuing to support the coaches and the players for the season ahead." And they have a quote from Graham Rowntree that said, "I've thoroughly enjoyed my time here in Munster working with a very talented group of players and coaches. I'd like to thank the wider Munster family for all the support they've shown me in my time here, but now is the right stage for my family and I to look forward to a new chapter." It's a bit mad, Queenie, that they didn't give him the All Blacks 15 game this weekend. Maybe they felt like Munster might win that game and suddenly you couldn't do it after that.
I don't know, to be honest, Ger. It's obviously it's been a negative couple of weeks, but I didn't think it was as bad as merited a head coach change. You know what I mean? I think we spoke about all the mitigation and the injuries, and I think I've said this as well, that if you have everybody fit and available, and they're playing poorly and they're getting these results, then you expect maybe a reaction. I think a lot of people will be blindsided by that reaction because, as I said, Graham Rowntree led Munster to URC not so long ago. They finished top of the table last year. Poor performance against Glasgow, and that's a very good Glasgow side, who proved that they were a very good side because they went on and won it. So they weren't a million miles away. So I didn't expect this. I didn't see this coming. But it's a big reaction. So obviously people who the decision makers have sat down and said, look, the direction we're going is not what's required. But like I said, it's getting rid of the coach here it doesn't solve the problem. I think there's a lot of work to be done as regards the players coming through from the academy, the quality of player, the type of player that they have. Because let's be honest, and I wouldn't personalize it with anyone, but there's players who played in the last few weeks. You question are they going to be go on and play in European games? Are they good enough, or are they just filling gaps? And that's not picking anybody out individually. Who knows? Some young players can have they can come good. They can get to that next level. But the frustrating thing for Munster fans is they see, players coming out of Leinster and they go straight into the system and they look at a very high level. But, that seems a bit unfair. But I think there's the quality of depth from, we spoke about it this morning, from kind of 23 onwards, needs to be a lot better for a club like Munster.
It's funny, isn't it? Because there has been elements of positivity in nearly every match this season, despite it being such a poor start. Like Connacht, a lot of people admire how they've done so far this campaign, and Munster beat them, and then they respond to the Zebra second half horror show with the win against Ospreys, and even Leinster after the quarter of an hour in the first period of the game, they're much more positive. Obviously we're shocked at the news because it's so sudden and you've only had a few minutes to react yourself, Quinny, but can you see the decision making from the Munster perspective? Is there any sort of justifiable reason to pull the trigger now ahead of this All Blacks game?
Well, who knows behind the scenes, they've obviously sat down and decided that this make the change now, freshen things up, bring somebody new in and change the direction they're going. I always thought that, as a head coach, you decide you don't actually organise, but you decide where the team are staying, when you're travelling, what time they're going at, you know, the fitness programme, you sign off and everything. So it's a big job, and there's obviously elements of that that are they're falling down on. The injury profile, the way they're starting in games, the set pieces has been a shambles. There's no two ways about it. It's been a shambles. Development of players. I think there needs to be a ruthless approach here again, regarding, you know, if you put on a Munster jersey, you know, like, you have to go right down into it here to try and figure out where they can get better, particularly behind the scenes. So, you know, I think there's frustration out there. If people think, again, that I'm critiquing Munster, I'm not. I'm just saying that it's concerning. It's worrying.
But you're only saying it because you care about it. But hang on.
Everybody's asking this question, Ger. Yeah. Everybody's asking this question. What's going on with Munster? What's going on with Munster? What's going on with Munster? Why are they so poor at the moment? And I've constantly been saying, well, it's because of the injuries. They're unlucky. But listen, this recruitment this year, good players, players who've proven themselves, but Munster need to be making statement signings. For me, it's not easy. It's not always, it doesn't always work, but I think you need to excite people. And I think Munster fans want that. They'll, you know, obviously everybody knows the level and who's where in the provincial setup in Ireland. But you know, I think there's a frustration there with Munster again. And there's a worry, maybe. So, obviously, people have seen that from behind the scenes and made this change. And I feel sorry for Graham Rowntree because, essentially, he was an assistant coach under Graham. Very topsy-turvy, up and down. Took the head coach job and wins a URC and brought incredible joy, emotion, happiness to people in Munster winning that. Particularly in the way they did it as well. You know, way to Glasgow, quarterfinal, Leinster semi-final, and then going to South Africa.
So that's his legacy. That's what people will remember him for. But in terms of the rugby and the progress from there, like I would just push back slightly on the, it seems to me that they've got much better throughput of young players coming from the underage system. Certainly when you look at the balance in the Ireland side that plays on Friday night during the Six Nations, there are more Munster players and they're better. And it seems like there's a good crop of youngsters coming through. I might be wrong, and maybe I'm misinterpreting that, but it feels like...
There is in some positions, for sure. You know, there is some good young players coming through. Absolutely. And listen, it's always going to be more difficult than in Leinster for all the provinces because of the school system. We're blue in the face from talking about that, but that's the reality.
I thought that the performance against Leinster was as bad as I've seen Munster in Dublin with the vast majority of their frontliners. They were missing some players and it didn't. There was no real improvement from there. The Stormers game, as you said, there's the two intercepts and maybe if that doesn't happen, we're talking about something completely different.
But they're all ifs and buts, really.
Exactly.
Though, aren't they?
But exactly. And it obviously got to a point where they didn't see enough progress from... You're talking there about stuff that we don't see, like are the logistics... Genuinely, you know, O'Connell's thing about being world class at the stuff that doesn't require any skill. That's what the next head coach of Munster needs to bring in. And when you hear this news, who do you immediately think about? You mentioned Mike Prendergast. Who else are the contenders for you?
If you want to recruit someone who's played for Munster, Rodgers an obvious choice. I don't think he'll leave La Rochelle. I think himself and Prendy and Leamy are very close. They obviously played together with each other. They share coaching ideas, all that kind of stuff. I doubt very much if Rog, who knows, maybe they will go after him and try and bring him back to Munster. He's the most obvious candidate if you're talking about someone from home. Again, it's just happened really. I don't know. I think back to when Rassie came over, Rassie Erasmus, and structurally he was getting deep into all the little bits and bobs that you need to be world class at. And he was a loss when he left that time. And you know, there was a frustrating period of the type of rugby Munster played for a couple of years under Johan van Graan. Ironically, you watch Bath play now and it's... they're different, they're flying it. And, you know, sometimes it takes time for coaches. And obviously it comes down to the personnel you have, the type of players and all that kind of stuff. So it's not an easy job for anyone. This isn't the case to come in and you're going to get success. Players need to be better and the type of players you have available. And again, that's not an easy fix or something that just happens. There is good young players coming through. Of course there is. But you want to strive for probably the more quality than what you have at the moment. And if you can't get that within the province, you know, not too far up the road, there's a raft of players who could potentially go and play for Munster. You know, we had Felix Jones, who became a Munster man. I never looked at Felix and thought, God, he's from Leinster. He was an incredibly passionate Munster man. Niall Ronan, Killian Keane probably was the first one back in the earlier days. He played with Gary Owen, lived in Limerick, played with Munster. So, you know, I think I would be very much of the fact that, and obviously I'm very passionate about Munster. I was when I played as well. And it doesn't matter to me if they're from the Leinster Academy. I just think if our academy is not strong enough and the level that's required in certain positions, and namely front row, Leinster have a raft of front row players and depth in that position. And that's not necessarily saying any of them will move ever, but I would have heard that in the last couple of years, that Munster's tacked around bringing in players from outside within Ireland. Their tact would have changed. Dermot Kilgallen is different, and Tom Farrell, because they're probably more experienced. They're not academy players. They're players who are playing with Connacht. Billy Burns is playing with Ulster and stuff like that. So I'm talking about young players, 19, 20, coming out of the school system, all that kind of stuff.
So your information was they stopped doing that. They didn't want to stop doing it.
They didn't want to do it anymore. I'll stand corrected. And look, it's in some ways was it the right thing? Possibly, I don't know. I'm just saying that I wouldn't have closed that door if it was me. And I'm not saying that they definitely closed it, but there was certain stuff and certain players that could have been gone after that. I think the tack changed. And again, Ian Costello's come in to try and bring true Munster players, to try and improve the academy. You know, when I was with Munster, we were blessed in some senses with so many big names and so many big players that obviously, when after 2011-12, there was a fallow period for Munster, and it kind of came home to roost a little bit then, that there was an eye taken off the academy, that there was an expectation that these guys would just be available, yeah. It didn't happen for a number of years. So it doesn't just happen. So I'm not trying to say that Munster have failed in that, but I just think they need someone to come in now, whether they recruit from within or whether they recruit and bring in a world-class proven coach. They need to make a statement. They need to start, you know, exciting fans. They need to start rebuilding again a little bit. Because, look, who knows? Listen, maybe they'll get a bounce now. Somebody else, new ideas, whatever the case may be. Yeah. I think they can get away from...
Do you know?
Well, look, it's a very short...
It's mad, isn't it?
It's a very short scenario. I think that they've just got to be careful in a sense of how they approach the week.
The WhatsApp groups are hopping, are they?
Hopping, yeah. Phone is hopping there all morning. Yeah, so, well, for the last half an hour since this happened, apologies. Between dogs barking now and people's ringing my phone. And,
that's all right. We understand. It's breaking news. You had something there you wanted to say, Colm.
Yeah, well, just on the succession plan, like, you were on about like a world-class coach, Quinny. Like, it seems that would be incredibly difficult to attract. Like, you were mentioning Ronan O'Gara, right? That would be seismic. But O'Gara's on here weekly talking about his desire to win it all domestically with La Rochelle. So that seems extremely unlikely. Now, we're live on YouTube at the moment, Quinny, so there's loads of suggestions coming in. We have Declan Kinney, Conor O'Shea and Felix Jones when he finishes up with England. Any of those names that particularly stands out to you?
They all stand out to me. Just depends what they bring to the table. Look, I worked with Declan Kinney for a long time. I've said this for years. It's a shame that he's not somewhere in the background involved in looking at Munster rugby. Bring in some ex-players, not me, because I'm not in that position, you know, working in the media. But there's, you know, bring in John Hayes, bring in David Wallace, bring in Marcus Horn. These guys, sit down with them, see And look, to be fair to Ian Costello, he did a survey last year and he got stuff off players without breaking any kind of secrets. And just information and what were our thoughts on different things. And he is forward thinking. And I think that's what Munster need, is more of that, more outside kind of out-of-the-box ideas. Because, look, I think structurally, I'm not saying there's nothing wrong with the structures, but I think it needs to all be looked at again, in a sense that how can we get better right across the board? Medical, fitness, training techniques, quality of player, academy. And, you know, it might help if it improves a percent or two in all of those. Well, then you're going to be better. And look... there's no quick fix solution here. I think, as I said, I'm not advocating to go out, and because you can't do it, you can't go out and sign willy nilly. But I think I just need to be shrewd and find that special player who's possibly in one of the other provinces, or like the front row situation is something that it's very shallow. Like yeah. They've been very unlucky with Roman Salanoa and Oli Yeager. But I don't know. It's hard to process it all now. But
definitely is, yeah.
It's a big statement, and it's a big shock that this has happened.
Because unlike in football, where we're used to managers leaving during the season, it's still slightly jarring when it happens in rugby. Like we saw it with Dan McFarlane last February with Ulster, and that itself was a surprise, even though it wasn't going so well. So for this to happen, it just adds to it, and the fact that you have the New Zealand game coming up this weekend, and then Quinny, there's a bit of a break, so there would have been an opportunity to turn this around.
Well, there would have been an opportunity to look at it and maybe breathe a little bit. But people who've decided this are obvious. This wasn't just decided this morning or Saturday evening or Sunday coming home with a plane, or if there was Munster officials out there. I think it's probably been. It could have been in the pipeline for a couple of weeks. I think it just doesn't feel right. That's probably the best way of describing this. I can go through this, and this.
Tell us why. Well, sit with that for a minute. Tell us.
Just something just doesn't feel right with the group, with the players, with Graham, in a sense that it's kind of batting down the hatches stuff, and it's kind of there's problems here as regards the way they're playing and the type of players they have. And something just doesn't feel right. And it's such a shame because...
Can I go back to...
Honestly, one of the highlights, I'll just say this, Ger, and whether people within the organisation or not believe me, one of my highlights was being in Cape Town in 2023 with my son and my mother and other family members, and just seeing people... You know, I was there in 06 and 08 when people were crying in the stands, and it was such a long journey and all that kind of stuff, and it was incredible. This brought back that kind of feeling, and I was kind of, in a sense, watching, because I was down pitch side, just watching Munster fans, players, emotion, and it was incredible. And it was a special kind of, it was a special moment as regards, you know, the organisation and trying to, you know, maybe get back to that top table. But something just feels that there's a step gone back now again.
That was, it turned out, an amazing one-off, like 3-4 weeks of incredible joy that happened for the group. But it wasn't, it turns out, the building block of something. They haven't taken that opportunity or seized the opportunity as a group of players, as a management team, as an organisation, for that to be the new base camp. That's the, I think...
And it kind of seems like an FA Cup win in soccer or something like that. Without being disrespectful, they went on this just mad run of a quarterfinal, semi-final and final. 2 weeks before that, they're in South Africa. People didn't expect them to get a result in either game. They beat the Stormers with a bonus point. They get a draw against the Sharks in Durban when they're 21 or 2-0 down at half time. They end up getting a draw. So they showed incredible grit. And one thing I wouldn't say here, Jared, there's nobody going out in the field. And everybody is trying hard here, but I kind of feel sorry for some of the players who are at the level that they play international rugby. And they're just, what are they thinking in their heads? Are we winning this match? Are they envious of what's gone on up the road and their own counterparts when they meet up with Ireland? It's probably a frustrating situation for them.
Yeah, and they need to use that now as the fire that makes sure that the next time and over the next couple of years that they're the ones who have that chip on their shoulder, much the same way Leinster
You know what, Ger? It's not for me to tell them what to do, but I think there's a lot of good Munster rugby people in business and who played for Munster, maybe played for Ireland. And again, try and bring some people in who are experts in business or experts have been brilliant in their different fields and try and say, look, this isn't to break the organisation. It's to say, look, maybe we need to get better right across the board here, and you see some green shoots. The green shoots are the young players that will come through, that I think there is some good young players for sure. And listen, on a different day here, lads, I think you both agree, if Munster have Jaeger, Salanoa, Dave Kilcoyne, Lachman, Edwin Adogbo, and about four or five of the backs that we mentioned this morning, I think the last 3 weeks are possibly, there's definitely a winning in there against the Stormers. But obviously, it's probably papering over cracks of the real depth and the thing. So if you ask me, Ger, where do I want Munster to be? I want Munster winning European Cups. And that's the level it should aspire to. And the day we don't aspire to being the best team in Europe, it's a long way away.
Well, can I say, because I felt that there were a lot of excuses made after the Leinster game in particular by...
Definitely.
And it felt to me like this was... That expectation, whether or not it's mad, right? Pádraic Joyce comes in and is the Galway manager and his first press conference, he goes, I'll be a failure unless I win All-Ireland. And I thought, that's mad. But he's dragged them kicking and screaming to two All-Ireland finals where they could have won either of those two games. And you need a little bit of madness to go, this is the European Cup. We're Munster. We are absolutely going to be contenders in this if it kills us. And after the Leinster game, I got the sense of, we understand our position in the world. And you never, ever, no reasonable approach to sports takes a team from mediocre to great. Oh, we'll get there eventually. We'll build slowly.
Munster had the capability of getting to the European Cup finals in the 2000s, and it's just not realistic now.
The organisation has accepted it at a financial level, at an economic level. We can't afford these players. We don't have the central contracts. Grant, fix it.
But here they lost.
Go on strike.
They lost Simon O'Mahony's not around. Zeebo just retired on a great campaign. They're losing player by player. It has an effect on an organisation.
The players who aged out collectively aged out. There was no planning in place for them. I just think that you need a bit of madness. You need someone to come in and say, absolutely not accepting this. If the IRFU aren't giving us more money, why not? Irish rugby owes Munster more debt than it owes anybody else. They are the ones that dragged Irish rugby into the professional era, kicking and screaming. They were the first ones to recognise the European Cup as a thing that you could bring you could travel across Europe and slalom your way through it with Alan's teams playing a brilliant brand of rugby. And then Leinster just copied them and were so annoyed and so angry. Eventually they got their shit together. And Munster sat on their laurels and now have to go back and revisit what they're getting to. That's why when I was watching this, I love Munster. I was at the game in Twickenham. I was at the game in Twickenham when they lost the European Cup final, because that was all rugby fans could do. You weren't going supporting Leinster because they weren't in those big games. Alan's team was literally one of the most exciting teams to watch. And the current setup are just so far divorced from that. That is I think they should be kicking and screaming against it.
But they're not happy, but that's the reality of it. Sorry, Quinny.
It actually makes me tingle a little bit when you mention about that, and it's a great way of putting it. If I said that, I'd be slated for being so biased towards Munster. But Munster is a massive, massive club, and it hasn't been at the top table for a long time consistently, and that's probably the frustration. And maybe that's just the way it's going to be. I don't know, but I think they can be better. I think the organisation can be better. And I think, there's no point in just bringing somebody in now and fix the current team. Bring in someone who's going to actually have a big review of everywhere right across the board, right down to the academy, the staff, the level of coaching that goes right across the board. Get out to the clubs in Munster. Get more people involved and see where everything is at. Because if you don't fix, the quick fix solution is get the players back who were injured. because you got to work with what you have this season. Get them on a run of whatever happens against New Zealand on Saturday, it's great and all that. But the most important game in the next period of time for me is the Lions game at home in Limerick. They've got to get 4 or 5 points out of that game. They then travel to Belfast on the 21st of December. They've got to get something up there. And you've got to take one step at a time. So, in other words, stop the bleeding or heal the cut quickly and then have someone there that's actually... And maybe they are, because someone could come on here. Ian Costello can come on here and says, Quinny, we're doing all this. This is all going on in the background, this, and this. And maybe that's what needs to happen, that Munster people need to know that. Because at the end of the day, Ger, Munster rugby fans deserve to know what's going on. They're the ones that are going into Thomond Park. They're the ones that are going into Virgin Media Park. They're the ones that are buying the jerseys. And for too long, it's kind of, it's very closeted. People are critiquing for the sake of critiquing. They're not. People want, there's so many genuine people who do come up, what's going on. And it affects them, and they're massive fans. There's no guarantees in sport that your team are going to go out and win at the weekend. Look, I can see Colum's face since the weekend, since Man United were beaten again. You know, he's sad all the time in recent times. Isn't that right, Colum?
Well, there's other reasons, yeah. But yeah, go on.
But do you know what I mean? It's a big call, and you know I'm outside of that, privy to what's going on. But let's see what happens now. You mentioned Conor O'Shea, Declan Kidney, yeah. and Rog,
Felix,
yeah,
all four of them, yeah.
Well, you know. They're all big names and they're all people who've been there, done that, you know.
Jerry Fannery, another one, Quinny, that's mentioned here.
Yeah, well, Jerry and Felix were there and it didn't, they moved on and they had great success. So, yeah, there's plenty of people out there who can come in and do stuff. The thing for Dennis Leamy here and Mike Prendergast, I hope that people, you know, obviously, I don't think they will, but that somebody would come in and say, oh, we're going to change all the staff here. Because I think Leamy and Prendergast are really part of what the way Munster have attacked in the last couple of years. And I know Dennis would be really frustrated this year with the defence. I spoke about it this morning, the 24 tries, so he's got to take that in the chin. But they're two brilliant coaches that Munster need to hold on to and keep part of and rebuild and get another assist coaching ticket going and try and get them better. The immediate plan has to be to make the current group better. And then, obviously, recruitment. Being a bit ruthless as well about, you know, it's a terrible thing to say in a sense that, you know, someone plays for Munster a couple of times and it's a great honour. It's a big honour. But they have to deserve it and they have to be at that level because it is a ruthless business and that's what sport is, professional sport is now.
I take you up at it there, Quinny. You said that Munster need to do better, certainly in relation to Leinster. And Ger, you're pretty much angry at Munster this season on their behalf, right?
Yeah.
But at the same time, could you argue that they were slightly ahead of schedule under Graham Rouchie on paper, winning the URC the season before last, finishing top of the regular season last campaign? And actually, if you tried to objectively analyse it this season, the only thing that was completely unacceptable out of all six matches so far was the second half against Zebra. And they went in at half time in a bonus point victory. Now, that's looking at the results. It's different when you're watching the performances.
Yeah.
However, Rowntree is could be sitting back today and being like, look what I did for you. You could argue that they were slightly ahead of schedule winning the URC the year before last.
I don't know. I think
is that a question or a statement?
More of a statement, actually, in defence of Rowntree. In defence of him.
Absolutely. There's, of course. I think the frustration for Munster fans is what they've seen since 2011-12 season up to that point. You know what I mean? So winning the URC, as I said, brilliant, absolutely joyous moment for so many people who would have been there back in the earlier days when we were winning European Cups. But it is what it is. In some ways, you know, it's very difficult and it's one that none of us saw is coming because there's loads of... The New Zealand game is coming up. Give him that game. Try and recalibrate. There's a month then without, you know, any league game.
Do you think they have someone in mind because of with that? Or
yeah,
like
that's a good point. That's an interesting point, actually.
I don't know, but you know, obviously the RFU, David Humphreys is part of this as well. Yeah. You know what I mean? And it's not, but I don't know. I think Ian Costello will go in there for the time being for this week, but I think they need to go out now and get someone who's going to bring a bit of a spark and a bit of energy here and get players to be better. And if they're not good enough to be played, they shouldn't be there.
One last thing that I meant to mention earlier. I felt like the whole Peter O'Mahony new contract, it felt like there had been some kind of issue in the background there that with Munster as well. And I didn't feel like Munster handled that brilliantly. And I don't know if that's the beginning of something happening, but certainly Rowntree always seemed uncomfortable being asked questions about that scenario in the press conferences afterwards. And I don't think he batted those away in a way that gave you a sense that he was fully confident. And look, stuff is going to come out. People will start hearing exactly what happened here and when the breakdown in relationship between Rowntree and the Munster hierarchy started. But it feels like it wouldn't be a million miles away from starting around back then.
Who knows? I don't know. It's they were rumours that were out there that I said this at the time about Peter. You know, I thought that the whole thing should have been handled better. It I know from my own experience, lads, if my contract is up next June, it's the 1st of November, Thursday, is it? It's now you're talking about contracts. It's now pre-Christmas. Am I staying? Am I going? Future planning. I don't let that run until February, March, April, and possibly I'm staying in June, I'm gone in June. It doesn't happen. So this thing went on for a while. So it went on too long, and maybe Peter was looking abroad himself, and that's what happens. It's a business. So it went on too long, and I think it stemmed from the fact that he was on a national contract. He was being shoved back to Munster from the IRFU and saying, well, now you pay his wages. He then eats into their budget as regards who they can recruit and bring in another couple of academy guys or whatever the case may be. So it was a complex situation for both sides, handled poorly. And I know if I was in that situation, I'd be frustrated as well. But who knows? There were rumours that there was a little bit of a conflict between Peter and Graham. Rumours only. I didn't hear that from Peter. I didn't hear, you know, Graham dismissed it. So who knows again? But ultimately, I think this is down to maybe just something not right behind the scenes here. And decision is made that they go a different direction and they change the approach here.
Manchester United and Munster. The parallels are there. Actually, it's a very difficult 24 hours for you as well, Quinny, because every Liverpool supporter I've talked to in the last day are devastated that Ten Hag has left United.
I know. That's what I was saying to my United mates. Yeah, keep him there for another while. Win a few, lose a few, win a few, and just keep it going. But anyway, that's sport, isn't it?
Yeah.
If Munster had the money Manchester United had and spent, it'd be a different story. But look, that is a reality of this as well, Ger. It's the financial side of this. There isn't a checkbook there that can just go on. But, you know, if you have
the RFU have one, the RFU can afford to pay the next Munster head coach. If it's like maybe, and they're saying Paul O'Connell, now's your time. It's probably too early, and maybe O'Connell doesn't want it. But like, if David Humphreys wanted his guy in there, he'd find money. The RFU are loaded, that's the bit that maybe Munster need to get better at lobbying for their forcing the RFU to pay more of their money.
You still have only a budget to bring in certain players and stuff like that.
Sure.
But if you're bringing in three, I'll finish on this. If you're bringing in three overseas players, three world-class players need to come in every single time. That's the reality. Because, you know, they make such an incredible difference. And they have to be top-class level. And that's not any sort of criticism of anyone's there. Alex Nankivell's a brilliant player. You know, Tacker Abrahams was in Lyon. He's not getting picked. He's on the team. He's off the team. He's injured. You know, again, world-class players need to come in there. If they have three positions to fill, might not be easy. The money obviously isn't there because financially it's challenging. But that's what I'd love to happen. Again, I understand that it's a difficult situation to happen. But look, it's a big shock to everyone this morning. And let's see how it plays out now. Who's all in right. the running? I think it's a big job still.
Yeah, it's a great job. It's one of the most important jobs in club rugby right across the world. It's got a brilliant brand. And like, obviously, Razzie was very highly thought of, but they were able to get him and Jack Niedebar at some point in the past. And they were able to go from there to taking over the most lavishly gifted collection of players we've ever seen in South Africa. So, you know,
yeah.
people can use this job. Use this job to attract really great talent, and ideally you have somebody who is going to be there for a long period of time and well, buy into the structures. So
that's it. It's a good job. I don't know if it's a great job yet. Like you were saying, Ira, if you could fund a high profile appointment, yeah, fair enough, but would that person want to go? Like they nearly need to sign a 10-year contract and stay there for the decade in order to compete and eventually surpass Leinster, because that is a mammoth task.
Yeah. All right, Quinny, thanks for jumping on.
Okay, cheers lads, thanks.
Will we do some of the comments for 2 minutes?
Yeah, there's 2 minutes. A million and four of them there.
Yeah, some of them I can't read. Some of them, see, when you're in the comments and you're being tongue in cheek, and you like when we read the first three or four of them, sometimes you'd be surprised some of the stuff that we read in the comments that isn't tongue in cheek. So Frisch has come up in a lot of conversations. He doesn't make it too long. Squad versus Toulouse. Why wasn't done more done to keep him? He was a massive loss, and then obviously he didn't get an Ireland cap, and so he would have been a foreign. Qualified, non-Irish qualified player, and so therefore the money would have been, you know, so there's these knock-on impacts. The John Klein going back to South Africa means you don't have, again, you can't have a non-Irish qualified player, and I thought they made the right decision letting RG Snyman go. If RG Snyman was now tearing up trees for an English club, no one would have batted an eyelid, or a French club,
or in Japan. Yeah, because it wouldn't have hurt as much, yeah. But like, did you not understand the well, let's call it what it was, like the bitterness from the Munster cohort that transfer occurred?
Yeah, of course.
Did you got it? Like,
oh, 100%,
you,
yeah. Yeah, I felt the same bitterness when Joey Carberry left Leinster to go to Munster.
Not quite the same impact, I dare say. Like, you know,
but we'll see.
We had Craig Ray on the show last week, and they were saying, in South Africa, RG Snyman is seen as the best player in the world if he can only stay fit. Like, I mean, that's how much of an influence you're talking. He's already done more for Leinster than he ever did for Munster.
Well, he hasn't, because he actually won a trophy with
look at his game by game. Yeah, he played towards the end of that URC win. He played towards the end of it, and he made a huge impact. But look what he's already done with Leinster.
Early season in the URC doesn't matter for the big teams. This is weird timing. I could get it if it was after a few bad European games, says somebody who's just called Celtic.
Well, that suggests me, that there must be something going on more beyond the disappointing results so far, because you would let the manager right the wrong of the season so far. I would stand by the fact that out of the 12 halves of rugby so far in the season's URC, it's only the second half against Zebra that was totally unacceptable.
I don't think that's correct.
So they beat Connacht in a really good game.
I think the first half against Leinster, they were abysmal.
For 15 minutes, they were atrocious. And for 5 minutes against the Sharks, they were terrible. And we asked that of Alan Quillen this morning in Off Ball Breakfast while Graham Rowntree was still officially publicly in charge. They have moments of complete lack of concentration, absence of focus, which he's seen in the weird number of intercepted tries that they've conceded.
Not 31-10 at half time.
31-10, yeah, but then they end up with a bonus point.
So that whole half isn't
two
bad.
Tries at the end. They scored two tries in the first half. But like, that's what I mean. They still have the capability.
But they were 21 points down.
Okay, for instance, so they nilled Ospreys on that Friday night in Cork, right? Now, if you're going from the Ospreys' point of view, they're like, geez, we came away with literally nothing. The thing with Rowntree, you could say, well, even we're playing this poorly, we have this number of players absent, we still, at some point in a game, did damage to every opposition we faced.
After the game's over.
So that's why it's tough for Rowntree.
After the game is over, that doesn't count.
Not in every case.
But the Leinster game was over. Case. The one at the weekend was over.
Jeez, if Munster took their opportunities against Leinster.
But sure, if me granny hit balls, yeah, she'd be me granddad.
Sure, if my hit balls, me uncle or granddad or any relation you want, we'd have no show.
No, I
because
know.
We're talking about how no. games can change.
Yeah, but that's a series.
You seem exasperated by my point.
Because it's a series of excuses accepting mediocrity.
It's not accepting me. You're trying to explain what happened. There's a difference.
Okay, but you're explaining, as Munster fans, you're explaining now again. For a long period of time, Ara, sure, it's the man, and nothing to do with us. It's look at Leinster.
I would say if you taught every single Munster fan, there would be a lot.
Are you not pissed off?
A lot of self reflection about how poor Munster have been at
your
times.
Birthright.
But when you bring Leinster into the equation,
was sold.
Then it's a different story altogether.
Sure, you can't like get your
and
own
that's
house
the comparison,
in order,
right? But of course, Munster are trying to get their own house in order. I mean, like you bring up the example of Alan Quinn's generation, but they were a remarkable group of players, like. who generational in
who
the 2000s.
Point blank refused to accept that they couldn't get the job done.
It's different to now.
Is it okay?
They weren't. It wasn't like Leicester City winning the European Cup. Like they really had a crop of young players.
And
the likes of which they hadn't seen in a long time.
And our lads,
and it was a great combination.
But I think that you have to, your base camp can't be everything around us is screwed against us, and that's okay. We're happy to be the fifth to ninth best team in the league and the, you know, 16th to 24th best team in Europe. That's just not acceptable. And unless everybody starts to rail against that, nothing remarkable will happen. What you're saying,
but I'm not saying that. I don't think Munster supporters are. We're not blaming everything on Leinster. Why? That would be nonsensical.
Every performance this season has been relatively poor, and you've made excuses after all of them. Not just you, but the group is like, oh, they have a lot of injuries.
We've put Munster in the red in the performance rankings for the last number of weeks. I was going to do it again this morning, and we voted off against it.
I think that
every week,
every team in rugby has a cohort of injuries perpetually. And your culture is either going to be able to deal with that or it's not. And I don't think Munster's culture is correct. And I think there's been evidence of that in the press conferences, in the performances. I think that this obviously has been going on in the background for a long period of time. As Alan pointed out, this didn't happen as a result of what happened at the weekend. Unless something has happened that they haven't made public. And I'm sure all the rugby journalists will tell us.
On your point about all the injuries, that does absolutely happen to every single team in sport throughout a campaign. But at some point, there is a breaking point of the number of key personnel missing that will make a substantial difference.
And Munster had the same thing happen last year. Like, and there's so if he's the tip of the spear and has to take responsibility, but actually somebody else in the background has not helped with in terms of recruitment, then that's fair enough. And I'd love to hear from Rowntree at some point in the future his honest thoughts about what happened. And whether or not he was supported in the way he thought he was going to be, I'm sure he would say he wasn't. But he has been around that squad for 5 years.
Yeah.
And it doesn't feel like they were able to use the success in the URC as a springboard to anything better.
Yeah. Tadhg Byrne's comments after the Sharks' defeat the weekend struck a chord at me. I was looking at it last night ahead of this morning show. And his comments were pure exasperation and not being able to explain the consecutively poor performances. So, now this is pure speculation. We don't know the actual truth about why Graham Rowntree has left. We know the public statement and we can speculate on the rest. But there must be something more going on behind the Zebra second half, the 15 minutes against Leinster, the first 5 minutes against the Sharks, and all the stupid basic errors that the players have made. There is something surely going on that's bigger that they had to change. Because it seems like such a brutal time to change this. There was more than enough leg room to improve the situation.
Well,
nothing
was going to change apart from the game against the All Blacks, which I don't think anybody is going to read too much
on
in
the
one
other
way
side
or the
other. Of the November break.
Unless he wins.
Of the international breaks, right? There's a lot of winnable games, and it felt maybe Munster saying, well, we don't want him to have a run of victories because it's more difficult to let him go then. That would be my theory. Now, on like a load of people, like every time I glance down at the YouTube comments, I'm just seeing Raj, right? And it's slightly unfair for us to talk about this because we have Ron Nogara on the show every week. But it does seem to me like almost insurmountable the task in convincing Ron Nogara to return home. Why would he?
I don't know. I you never know. Loads of reasons people suddenly make decisions. I'd be very surprised if they were able to convince Ron Nogara to take this job now in the middle of the season as well, like, or even at the end of the season. And you put an interim coach in, which you would do. You would wait if he signaled that he was interested. And the only way I think you could do it is if there's some kind of sense that you suddenly catapult him to the top when Andy Farrell eventually leaves. But like, Farrell might not leave for ages. So I don't think he can be promising future roles when they don't even exist. Spider-Man says, Farrell is our best signing. We need to be eyeing up one of the Leinster internationals, such as Conan, who might not be getting his game as much as he would. And Daniel O'Keefe immediately came back with, why would Conan go to Munster to listen to whinging when he's ahead of Coombs there too?
I think
if Jack Conan is leaving Leinster, he's going to make big money, hopefully in Europe.
Yeah.
Whereas it's actually Max Deegan 2 years ago is the player that you needed to sign.
Oh, here. The Leinster players have a huge problem in their hands. If they're not playing regularly, they have nowhere to go. Like, they have to go abroad and then they're gone from Ireland because there's no point in a Conan going to Munster. Why would he, like?
No, I think, sorry, yeah. From Munster's perspective, if they could convince...
Unbelievable, but this is my point in the whole conversation. You're saying the RFU can back a world-class manager, fair enough. But why would the world-class manager want to go to Munster? Why won't they just wait to see if Leinster will become available in a couple of years after Leo Cullen's next contract expires?
Yeah, probably won't, though. I think Simon Easterby and Paul O'Connell ticket makes more sense than Felix Jones. I mean, maybe Easterby decides that he wants to be a number one.
I admire the ambition of these people in the comments. It's a who's who of rugby coaches that are naming here. Why would they want to go?
Yeah, all right. Look, we've had unbelievably, I suppose not unbelievably, but massive reaction to this because people really care about it. And I make the point, IRFU, oh, Munster, basically the existence of professional rugby in this country. And so that's why the job is so important. And that's why if they need to get the checkbook out and help make sure that Munster is not just competitive with Leinster, but competitive across Europe, then now's the time to do it. So this was your breaking news special this morning here from the OTB Breakfast crew. The Club Championship show is going to be live at 12 o'clock. Make sure you stay tuned to our Off the Ball channels. And then Owen will be back with the rest of the crew from 7 this evening, trying to make some sense of this, of a Tuesday, of a bank holiday weekend. Cheers.